Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Okay, welcome to Generations Radio Show. I am Percy Ihara, your host, here every Sunday morning. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for letting your friends and family and even your children know about the radio show. So as you guys know, you can always go to our website, generations808.com, to check out our past radio shows, if you want to call, the young guys call them podcasts now, you know, but just radio shows that are uploaded to a website. That's how they all would do it on all the other podcast platforms. But our platform carries everything, all our past Generations magazines. And don't forget, the new one's out just today. The cover story is about Miss Ginny Chu, who was the child prodigy piano player that actually acted in a few movies locally, and is still playing piano to this day, and is one of a big donor and passionate about the Humane Society. So you send it out, beautiful, and thank you, Jenny, if you're listening. And actually, my own dog, Blue, was in the background of the one of the main photos. So thank you very much to our photographer, Brian Suda. But anyway, I've been doing this for 20 years, by the way. For a lot of people that know, my day job is the reverse mortgage. So I've been working with seniors for over 20 years. And so I started radio about 18 years ago, off and on did radio, but I've been doing it for now for like the last 10 years. And so I've learned a lot about aging. When I started at 42 years old, because I'm 62 today, I never really thought about Alzheimer's or I didn't even know Parkinson was part of the Alzheimer's dementia family. I never thought about fall prevention or worried about my vision like I do today. My hearing. So I've always wanted to have a doctor on the show. We've had doctors on before, but this doctor today is from the Kuakini primary care clinic. And she is a past president of the Hawaii Academy of Family Physicians, Dr. Shani Nakano. So welcome to the show, Dr. Nakano.
Hi, thank you for having me, Percy.
Yeah, and I know that people say, wow, Percy, that girl like sounds like she's still in high school. But I know you're not, because you actually went through medical school at UH. And you interned, we did a fellowship with the geriatric fellowship at UH.
Yes, I did a while ago.
Well, 2015, so you got to be over 30 yeah. years old at least then, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So let me ask you this. So you're a primary care physician, PCP as we call it, but you did a geriatric fellowship. So that's interesting. You didn't want to continue to be a geriatrician or specialize in geriatric care?
I kind of like that full spectrum where I could see, I used to be a chiropractor, I used to see kids too, and then through the whole, as they get older and whole families, I can see like the kids and their parents and then their grandparents. So I think that I like that aspect. And I just wanted to learn more about geriatrics. So that's why I did extra.
Yeah, that's really great, Janie. Actually, when I've talked to young doctor candidates and people in medical school, I say the biggest industry to come into right now is in geriatrics, because everybody's getting older, including myself. Yeah. And all our doctors, my eye doctor, my PCP has since retired. So I tell people now, you know, you got to find a doctor younger than you, because you need to make sure you outlive them. Otherwise, like my two doctors, they're retired, and my chiropractor had passed away. Like, oh my God. Oh. So anyway, so let me ask you this. In your geriatric fellowship at UH, did they talk about at all, and I know this is not some of the questions that you wanted to ask you, but what do you see in terms of, and I'll give you my personal opinion because I do a lot of research, of the aging population in Hawaii. Did they talk at all about that?
In terms of
people's health over 60s and amount of people over 60s, in the 60s?
Oh, that they're, yeah, that they're a growing population. They're growing in our population. And, you know, a lot more people are doing, I mean, you see a lot more like assisted livings or independent living places coming up because a lot of places are, a lot of people are having to kind of, a lot of people are having to care for the people that are aging. So I think a lot of things that we learned was kind of how to not just medically care for them, but also how to, you know, how the caregivers are going to also as part, you know, be part of that as well.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, you know, when you hire a caregiver, they don't just sit there and care for you. They can do small, light housework around, wash the clothes, wash the dishes, vacuum, clean the floor. They can do, that's all we call support services, in-home support services. But yeah, a lot of us baby boomers are dealing with our parents, including moi, as they say, me, dealing with my parents as they age. But it's something I think we all, you know, we're all getting up in age. I mean, you're young, but I'm 62. So every time, it's funny how I just get together with my classmates or guys I golf with, we end up talking about, you know, so-and-so's health or, you know, the March, April issue had was a story about cancer. Because I have four personal friends of mine that had stage four cancer. I have four clients that have currently have cancer. Yeah. And it's something that, you know, we all have to worry about down the road. And, you know, Medicare, we have a great Medicare program. But, you know, as you get older, people got to realize that when you get to the age of 65, you're more susceptible to having health issues. Yeah. But here's a fact for you, and you might have seen it on TV. You know, they say you may live your half your life over the age of 50. Isn't that amazing? That means you're going to get close to 100 years old.
I just recently saw that actually on TV.
Yeah, I believe it was AARP had that out there. And depending on who you talk to, when I got in this business 20 years ago, life expectancy in Hawaii is about 81. Today, I think I believe they say it's about 84 to 85. Personally, my experience, because I work with seniors every day, you're probably looking at mid-80s at the minimum. There have been statistics that if you've never had any major health issues when you reach 70, chance of reaching, living to 90 is like 70% because you're already living a healthy lifestyle already. It's amazing. I mean, live half your life over the age of 50. And get this.
Yeah.
In the world, there are more people over 50 than under 50 right now. That's a new statistic. So I get stuff sent to me every day. And so it's really important. But so you deal with it with most you know, clients of all ages. But let me ask you this. What is important for us people that are over 60? Like I'm 62. What's important? What is important that I need to do for my health from a doctor's point of view?
Okay. So something we always kind of think about as people get older, especially like in their 60s, are vaccinations. So for example, shingles, the shingle shot, the Shingrix is one of the shots that when you're 50, you actually qualify for. So that one is a two-shot series.
Yeah. Can I ask you that, though? When I got shingles at 58, I believe it was, 58. I was actually going to be the host, and not a speaker, but just the host of a conference on regenerative medicine at a convention center in 2018. And I got shingles that Monday of the week I was supposed to be the host of this conference. And then when I went to the doctor and I was talking to my my PCP and my nurse practitioner buddy, he said, "Why didn't I know about this?" Because back then, because it's not today, I just found out according to you as well, back then you insurance didn't cover until you were 60 years old.
Oh, yes. The older shingle shot, yes, they didn't cover it until you were older.
Now they allow you to do that. 50
yeah,
years right. old, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I got one shot, and actually, my PCP sent me a notice that I should get the second shot because there's a new shot or a more intense or powerful shingle shot.
Yes, exactly. So the one you probably got before was the older shot, the Zostavax, and that one, even if you got that old one, they're recommending that you get this new shingle shot, the Shingrix, because it's stronger, it's more powerful.
You know what's you know what's amazing? When I got the shingles, the only benefit was that I figured out from friends that the best way to handle the searing pain of shingles on my side of my chest was to put ice packs on it for 22 hours of the day. Because I only got up to eat lunch, breakfast, lunch. But ice packs really, really helped a lot. Because by the time I got it, I got the medication within 4 hours. It was too late already, you know. But the best benefit of it, I probably watched most of Netflix because I was on the ground watching TV all day long. But all I can say, if you're 50, get the shingles shot. Especially if you're in a high stress business, is that kind of what caused it? Because I know I've since been able to de-stress myself, but back those years, I was really busy. Is stress it brings out of your body the shingles?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest triggers, stress. Whether it's like health stress, like people get sick and then sometimes it brings out the shingles, or, you know, personal stress, definitely. Yeah, the common ones.
And shingles is from dormant chicken pox, is that correct?
Yeah, a similar virus, Yeah, it kind of stays in the spine area and kind of sleeps there, dormant.
All these
and
years?
And then kind of can get triggered.
I'm surprised. But I found that out of probably 10 people I talked to after I got shingles, I'll tell you six of them were under 40 years old. Interesting.
I've seen a lot of younger people, like even in their 20s, get shingles recently.
And is it mostly, and I think it's mostly stress related because people are wanting you to work more, do more.
More stress.
Yeah. So I tell people, everybody I speak to, what's a client, a potential client, or someone I walk in to talk to, is that they have to make sure they have the advanced medical directive. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. So the advanced medical health directive is, again, like you said, to me too, is also super important because it has two parts. The main part is it does designate a power of attorney for you. So some states will say, you know, next of kin will be the person, your medical decision maker. But Hawaii doesn't have a law like that. So the only way to designate somebody is through these advanced healthcare directives. So you can designate, your power of attorney. So someone that you trust to make medical decisions for you when you can't. So like say, you know, you passed out and you couldn't make decisions for yourself, then that would kick in. And then, so that's one part. I usually tell people to try to pick two power of attorneys so that in case we couldn't get in touch with the first one, we can talk with the second one.
Yeah. Or the first one passes away.
That's true, too. So later on, I always tell people, I try to readdress it and just say, hey, you know, it's still current. Do we need to change anything? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's definitely really important.
Yeah, for sure. And then the second part is, you know, if you do have a preference for, you know, towards the end of your life's journey, like, for example, if you're hospitalized and there was no hope, would you want to stay on machines forever? Or, you know, would you want pain relief with medications, things like that? It'll also have a portion to make those types of decisions, too.
I've even heard attorneys putting in there whether to give your loved one water, because you can live a long time without eating, but it's the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can live, I believe 7 days without water. Or was it 7 days without food, but certain amount of days without water, and to the point where, no, you can't give mom water either. It's like, wow. I mean,
I've never seen that before.
Well, I deal with a lot of attorneys. I've done sessions with the Bar Association. I work with almost exclusively with three different attorneys, and I've just heard these stories going out there. Like, wow, this is how serious it can be. And a lot of times, it's just through our own experiences, you know, because let's say Shani, you're Dr. Shani, you're my sister. I said, you know, sister, you know, mom didn't doesn't want to live much longer, and she told me da da da. While Dr. Shani said, well, right. Percy, I'm a doctor, and this is what the medical directives say. And then you get legal lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've even seen a situation that was actually many years ago, over 10 years ago, where a major hospital here told the family that we had to take her off life support. And there was legal documents where the medical directive said, yes, take her off life support. But also there was a power of attorney that said the brother makes that decision. So the major hospital said, no, we have to follow the medical directive. The family said, no. We have to go. We're going to exercise the power of attorney. So we want her to live. So they actually sued each other. Well, the family won. And they took her home. Yeah. And she lived, I believe, for another year or two. So I asked the attorney that dealt with the lawsuit. And he wasn't the one that created the medical directive or the power of attorney. Even though they're drafted on the same day by the same attorney, I asked, why do you have two documents that conflict with each other? He goes, I don't know. All I know is that the reason why they wanted the mom to live is because, no, she could not communicate with the family. No, she could not talk. She was fed intravenously. But it was for the grandkids to still see grandma there. And even though she was hooked up to medical apparatus, she was able to live. And that kind of put me in a different scenario where legally, document-wise, we understand everything. But when you bring in the fact that the family can experience that, even though they couldn't communicate with grandma, that was amazing. That really, you know, that's how I learned so many different scenarios and so many what-ifs in family situations. And it was very important for the family to make sure she came home. So, and she lived almost 2 years after that. So, who knows? But anyway, that was a great story. It actually was a true story. It was actually in a newspaper many years ago. But okay, so 60s, is that the main thing? Shingles.
Shingles, and then you know, annually there's a flu shot, and then the other one that's really important in your that you'll probably get asked when you're 65 is the pneumonia shot.
I'm sorry, pneumonia shot?
Huh?
Why 65? You mean I'm 62, I can't get it now? I know, insurance doesn't cover it, right?
And then if you're younger than 65, if you have certain medical conditions, then it would cover. So things like diabetes, for example, because you're at higher risk. For pneumonia.
Oh, okay.
And then, so they say 65 and older is higher risk, and then under 65 with risk factors.
Oh, interesting. I'll make a note of it. I think the other thing is that, and I've run to personal friends of mine that don't do an annual physical. I think when I turned 40, I did annual physicals. And I think that's the best thing. Well, luckily my doctor, we got a good relationship. So he spent more than the 5 minutes that they spent with a PCP today. maybe 15 minutes he would spend. Maybe we would talk story, you know, and I would ask him about my weight and ask him talked about family history. And he put me on medication. I said, doc, I don't want medication. He goes, no, you have to. You're on a borderline high blood pressure and you're borderline, with cholesterol issues. So I said, okay, doc, I get it. So I went to the pharmacy, ordered the first set of prescription drugs, and I put it on my top of my counter, and I said, okay, we're not going to do this. So I started walking golf. So I walk golf 3 times a week, and that really helped a lot to this day.
Yeah.
Because I was like 54 at the time. It was interesting. And is that common? Is that when people in their 50s are on some kind of medication? Do you see that a lot?
That they can kind of get off of it?
No, that they are on medication. Some kind of
medication. That they are on medication. I think they did a lot of studies on that too, that as you get older, you're on like more and more medications. Yeah.
Well, the only reason why I say that, when I had shoulder surgery at 52 years old and then 53 years old, I had two surgeries, the nurse came in to get me ready for surgery. She goes, okay, Mr. Ihara, what kind of medication are you on? I said, medication? I don't take any medication. Oh, no, no, you must be on some kind of medication. I said, well, I go on glucosamine for my joints and vitamin C, and I think it was one of the vitamin A or whatever. He goes, no, no, no. I said, that's all I take. Really? He goes, I said, why do you ask me that? He goes, most people in their early to mid-50s are on some kind of medication. Like, yeah. I never thought about that. True. So I started asking my friends, Dr. Cheney, are you on some kind of medication? And out of five of my close friends that week, three of them were on some kind of medication. And I was heavier than them. I'm like, wow. So it shows you, just because you're skinny doesn't mean you're healthy.
That's true.
You know? Okay. One last topic before we take the first break is, what's important when you reach the age of 70?
Probably, so there's nothing specific, but I think just general healthy, just, you know, staying healthy in general. So general health tips might be, you know, things like eating healthy, like you mentioned, exercise. So things just like as simple as walking. Tai Chi has actually been shown to be good for balance.
It really
I don't know
is.
If you remember this. It was a while ago. Yeah?
No, it really is.
It was a while
is.
Ago, but they used to do Tai Chi like throughout the whole Kahala Mall.
They still do.
They still do? Okay.
Even at Makiki Park on off of Keamoku, they do it every Saturday morning. Have you ever tried Tai Chi? I don't think you can do it. Have you ever done it?
I have not personally tried
Tai Chi. I'll tell you why. When I was 5 years ago, we did a Tai Chi class. And man... Uh-huh. About 50 of us were in the room, about 10 of us were under 60, the rest were over 70, and I was looking around, I couldn't do it, but I was looking at all my friends that were like my age, like, man, this is kind of too slow for us. You're moving slow, you're thinking about different things. No, we're thinking about work, we're thinking about meeting, we got to think about who I got to call back. No, it's true. I was talking to my friend Hope, who was with me, like, man, this is too hard. But it is. It's been found to be one of the best exercises for seniors for balance and fall prevention.
Yeah.
And mind exercise, puzzles, crosswords. Yeah. What other things? I don't know how you do Sudoku, but people love Sudoku.
Yeah.
You know?
People do love Sudoku. Yeah. Mind exercises are included in exercises too. So yeah, anything like that, like you were saying, that can keep you active. In your head.
I think social contact, talking to people is really important too. Because, you know, I have some clients that are isolated. They don't go out as much. Like I was talking to one this morning, you know, she doesn't have a lot of support around her. Is that seniors need to have social interaction. It is so key, not only as a human being, but to thrive as we get older. Because a lot of them, we call them shut-ins, you know. And there's a lot of them out there. But guys, I think you really need to, you know, now there's no way to stop Alzheimer's dementia, but it may slow it down. But all these crossword, I read the newspaper every morning. That's the first thing I do before checking my emails. Well, actually, before I check my emails, I read the newspaper, have my cup of coffee. Let me ask you this, since we're on that. I've seen so many different stories about whether coffee is good or not for you, or excess coffee is no good or not. But I've seen some reports where, five cups of coffee may be better. They have a lot of antioxidants in them. What's your opinion? I won't hold you to it.
I think everything in moderation is okay. So if you don't have any heart conditions, then, you know, a cup or two of coffee is okay in the morning. I don't know if you have much more than that. Again, it depends. Some people, as they get older with like heart conditions, they can't handle that amount of coffee.
Right. So it's all in moderation.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew who Dr. Shintani was, or you had heard about him.
Uh-huh.
He always, I took his 10-day course, and he said, I asked him that question. I said, you know, I eat a lot of vegetables, but then I know somebody drinks a lot of coffee. He goes, everything is in moderation is the best way to live your life. So it's a great rule of thumb. And even Dr. Shaney says everything in moderation. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. Yeah. Dr. Shaney, we'll be right back. And please support our sponsors here, including my own. Okay, we're taking a short break. We'll be right back.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
You've worked hard to make it to this point, faithfully paying your mortgage and putting money into your home. Now you can tap into this equity with the reverse mortgage loan designed specifically for those age 60 and older. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist, NMLS number 582-944. Let him show you how you can use a reverse mortgage to gain a new source of funds, just as you would with a traditional home equity loan that you would get at a local bank, but with additional benefits. Give him a call at 808-234-3117, and he'll show you how a reverse mortgage could be an important tool for you. He lives and works right here in Hawaii and understands Hawaii borrowers. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed mortgage banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara here with Dr. Cheney from Kuakini Primary Care Clinic. But anyway, guys, don't forget our next issue is out featuring Jenny Chu, the prodigy piano player that actually still playing, but really is a story about her passion for animals and humane society. And we love to support animals and anybody that's passionate about that. And Jenny, you did a great job. Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing my own dog, Blue, that's in the background of the cover story photo. But it's a great story. You know, and on the west side, they're building now a new humane society, by the way. So they could really need your volunteers and really could need your financial support if you can help them out. And you can really easily go to humanesociety.org and check them out. So, but it's a great, great, we had a great time with a photo shoot. And Jenny is just a wonderful person. So anyway, we're here with Dr. Cheney. Now, guys, if you're going to be living close to 90, you know, right now it's about mid-80s, I think it's important for all of us to really pay attention to our health. If you do not do an annual physical, you really should, at least when you start at 40 years old, or maybe even 50s. I knew of a very prominent person who you've seen around town in the news. He went to a cancer conference for CEOs, and he found out that he forgot to do his annual physical for the last 3 years. He finally went to get his physical, and it caught his prostate cancer early. Yeah. It saved his life. Really important that you go do your annual physical. I'm due for one actually this year in January, but I've been so busy, as everybody says. So it's on my calendar of to-do list the next couple of months to set up my annual physical. But anyway, Dr. Cheney, thank you so much for being available for us. I have a lot of questions, and I know you sent me a lot of questions. I'm just trying to find. Okay, so one big thing we talked about was medical directive, which is great. Shingles shot, pneumonia shot. I never heard of the pneumonia shot when you reach 65, but explain to me, for a lot of people that don't know, is what a POST is, P-O-L-S-T.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So a POST is, it stands for Physician's Order for Life-Sustaining Treatment. If you ever seen it, it's like one of those green forms usually.
Right.
It comes in bright green color. Yeah.
Right.
And actually, it's in a lot of people think that it's the same thing as a Defense Healthcare Directive, but it's actually different and is a supplement to the Advanced Directive. So that one is like a physician's order. So it's signed by a physician and the patient or the person telling people what they would want if something were to happen, like right then and there. So if somebody fainted at the house or their heart stopped, what would you, you know, would you want CPR? Would you just want to be left alone and go naturally? It has those types of decisions on it. So that's the thing that paramedics look for when they come to your house. So my husband's actually a paramedic. So he says, like, he's always looking at the refrigerator or, you know, countertops to see if they people have that pulse there, because they don't necessarily look for advanced health care directives because those are technically not orders for them. So they can only follow that green paper. So if you have specific preferences, that's a good paper to have with you.
And that's the reason why it's bright green, so people can see it and you leave it out in your refrigerator.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then the thing to know that is if you don't have one, then, you know, the people or paramedics will just do everything. So that is the green paper is more to.
And you get it from your doctor.
You get it from your doctor, yeah.
So if they're very busy, ask the head nurse or supervisor or manager, hey, Dr. Cheney said I need my pulse. Not take my pulse. Mm-hmm. I need my pulse. They will know exactly right. What you're talking about to sit you down and ask you some very important questions. Because legally, when that fireman comes in there, because they're their first responder, because there is a fire station in every neighborhood, they're going to look around for that pulse document. If they don't have that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Cheney, they have to legally try to revive you if that's something that they can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes.
That's correct.
In fact, I have a good buddy of mine, two or three of my buddies are fire captains. I asked them one day, hey, so is that true? You always look for that document? He goes, yes, of course. We don't want to, you know, 80-year-old gentleman, and we got to do heart compression of the chest cavity because to revive them, it'll crack the ribs, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, really important to make sure now that typically is in your own home because I believe it's not legal outside of Hawaii. So if you take it to Vegas, it may not work. But it's really important to talk to your family, make sure your family knows about that, what your needs and wants, things like that. Ooh, this next one, Dr. Cheney, is a big one. Retire from driving? Uh-huh. Are you kidding me?
Yes, I think I have the hardest time with that one. Because, I mean, I get it. I'm very close to my family. So when my grandparents had to retire from driving. They were always talking about when they could go back to driving. So I totally get it. It's a loss of independence. But I think like any other part of life, like jobs, that there is a time to retire from driving. Usually it's, you know, when we notice things, like maybe if you're nervous to drive, or if somebody's a passenger with you and they're nervous when you're driving, then that might be a warning sign that, you know, it might be time to, you know, start thinking about stop driving for your safety and other people's safety. Or if it's just noticing like dents or scrapes in the car.
Yes,
like
all you baby boomers, you're dealing with your parents. That's what I do. Seriously, I walk around my dad's car every week because I go take him dinner every Thursday. And I walk around a car looking for dents. But it's so common, isn't it?
You know? Yeah, it is. It definitely is. I have a lot of patients that will, because they don't want to lose that independence like all at once, they'll just kind of limit themselves to maybe like a couple blocks around their area to start with.
Yeah.
Then help them so that they can at least get to the store and then come back or something like
it
that.
It is.
Ease a transition, yeah.
Well, I've mentioned this before on the show that I've had friends in Pearl City several years ago. This lady went and picked up a girlfriend at her house in Pearl City, and there was a fence. Mm-hmm. Well, the lady pushed the wrong pedal, hit the fence. The lady was behind the fence, hit the fence, and knocked it over and killed her. Yes, they're both seniors.
Yeah.
In Kaneohe, many years ago, on Christmas Eve, a senior hit another senior. The senior was in a crosswalk. The families knew each other. So it is very important to understand, driving when you get older, you're going to have limitations to your, you'll be able to turn your head in a car, see visually. and your reaction time frame,
exactly,
the car cuts in front of you, really important. In fact, I believe ARP and AAA does have some kind of a driver safety class you can take. Really, really important, because you're talking about people's lives ahead. Gosh, you had another good question. Plan ahead. How do we plan ahead for assisted living or living with a family? What's your conversation like, Dr. Franny?
I usually, so as people are getting older, I usually just ask them if they have a plan. And a lot of people don't, because you don't think of yourself as getting older all the time. You never like think that you're going to need help. Like a lot of people would just tell me, but I'm fine on my own.
Until something happens.
Wonderful.
Until something happens.
And unfortunately, as people get older, there's usually always a time where you do need more help. So to me, I'm like a, you know, type A planner type of person.
Good.
It's always nice to have that plan there. And also, I've seen it where all of a sudden, you know, a son finds out that their mother or father actually needs more help, and then they want to get into a facility like tomorrow or next week. And then it's always really challenging because some of those facilities have wait lists. You have to go see a doctor to get all these forms filled out before you can even get in.
You fill out a long application to do a financial check.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So all of those things are like, I think, really, like, you know, indicate that there's really benefit to planning ahead for those kinds of things. And then also, to me, it's an easier transition for the person, because when I've told people before, like when they're 90, hey, you have to have a plan now, I get a lot of resistance. But when they're 80 and maybe they're very independent, don't need help yet, but when I start that conversation and people start thinking about it, then they have time to think about it. So I had somebody in her early 80s, but I already started every year I saw her, or every 6 months, I would tell, like, keep asking her about it. And then by the time she hit her mid-80s, she told me, oh, you know, my nephew took me around to all the assisted livings and independent livings so that I could kind of see the different ones. And I like this one, so I plan to kind of start the application for this one when it's time. So I thought that was very helpful for her to, like, know ahead of time, like, what she might expect and kind of get used to the idea.
No, very important. Yeah. I'm glad you're doing that, because a lot of physicians don't have the time. Not that they don't take care about the client, but because of the time factor, how much clients you see every day.
Yeah.
You know, I know geriatricians that don't take clients anymore because they're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are limited geriatricians in town. And I don't know how many PCPs really understand what you understand, Dr. Chaney, but it's really important to have that conversation earlier. You know, I've been doing the reverse mortgage for 20 years. I work with seniors specifically. One of the few people you'll meet that is pretty wide. I have a various wide topic platform of topics I can talk about. And I have certain designations, and one of them is certified in long-term care, where I'm certified to do long-term planning. I've taken classes and courses. I actually took two of my clients to visit facilities in the last 2 months. The application is pretty lengthy. And you have to do a financial qualification, believe it or not, because they don't want to kick you out as you get older. There's different types, whether you buy in or you rent. It's really important to start having a conversation early. I'm 62. I think about 59, 60 years old, I told my wife, you know, that's really what I would like us to do, you know, because I live in town, so I have many options for that. Because I've just seen so many of my clients, including aunties, that moved into facilities. And the first thing y'all said, I wish I moved in her earlier. It was such a great lifestyle. If you can afford it, obviously.
Yeah.
But my wife goes, you go enjoy yourself, because I'm not moving out of my house. So that is something, you know, is a decision for both in a couple, in a family. Or a lot of times they'll wait. Typically, wives will outlive their husbands, and they'll move in after the husband passes away. But it is important to check out all the places, because if you live in Kaneohe, but most of your kids that live in town Are they going to drive to Kaneohe every other day to come visit you? Maybe not.
Right.
Or vice versa. Hawaii Kai is beautiful and Kaneohe is beautiful, but if I live in town, it might limit how many times I'm going to go visit you per week, you know?
Right.
So that location is always important. Understanding the different levels of care is really important.
So,
my mind's always moving when you're talking, when I talk to somebody. Are you still taking clients on Dr. Cheney?
Okay, so
Dr. Nakano is at Kuakini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of doctors aren't taking new patients. You know, a lot of doctors are getting older. They don't want to even take Medicare. So I'm glad you're available.
All insurance.
You could probably just Google her. Okay, a couple more things. Should everyone take vitamins or supplements? That's a good one.
You know, that depends. I think before, they used to tell everybody to take a multivitamin. But I guess more recently, they said, you know, maybe or maybe not, just depends. For memory, I know a lot of people are asking me about Prevagen or Ginkgo. They used to ask me about Ginkgo biloba a lot before. But there's not really, you know, really, really good evidence that they work.
Right.
And then, sometimes it can just be really expensive. Sometimes I leave it up to the patient, right? Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes I just leave it up to the person and, you know, tell them. I mean, as long as, you know, they tell me what it is and I checked what's in it and it's not going to interact with their medication or have some kind of adverse effect on them, then I usually am pretty, like, you know, I'll just let them do what they want to do. But knowing, explaining to them that there's no definitive evidence. For certain things like that, for certain vitamins, it has been shown to help with memory or maybe possibly dementia prevention. So things like vitamin B12 and vitamin D. But usually we can check a blood test for that. And if you're low, then we can supplement for you. So we can check for that first before you just, you know, automatically supplement for those. But those in general, that's the biggest question I usually get is all from memory.
Right. In fact, I was with a friend of mine just the other day. Sunday. He was telling me that his mother-in-law takes 30 different medications.
Oh my gosh.
I said, that's hard to believe. Do you ever do a medication review and have the doctors come together? Oh, she got four or five doctors. That's why. It's like she got all these. I said that's a lot of medications. What would you tell a person or your client, you know, your patient, if they're taking that many medications? Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of a lot?
That's a lot. I usually will have them, if they don't have a list of their medications, I usually will ask them to bring other pills with them so that we can see what they are. Because sometimes you're right. Sometimes you'll find that they're doubling up on certain medicines. I also like to know if they're actually taking it. Because I've had people before where we keep adding blood pressure medicine, for example, because their pressure is always high.
Right.
But then I find out that they actually just weren't, they just weren't taking the first one. And then if there's a lot of vitamins, sometimes if, you know, they might not benefit from it anyway, then we might try to remove those. Yeah, there's so many ways we could try to cut that down. And also depending on, you know, her preferences too, if it's okay to cut some of that back, because that's a lot of pills to take every day.
Well, I'm just kind of curious. I don't think they did a medication review with all the different doctors that are involved. I think she has like five different doctors. I'm just surprised she's still alive.
Usually you just bring that off. Like your primary care doctor, they try to make it like this concept of your medical home.
Right.
So your primary care doctor is supposed to be your medical home. And then if you can ask that person, you know, about all your other, because like if you ask like your cardiologist about your kidney medicine, they might not tell you anything specific other than go ask your kidney doctor. But if you tell your primary care doctor, they're supposed to be like your home and your, you know, your main doctor to kind of coordinate and organize with everybody else. So to me, that's part of what we do to help coordinate care for everybody. So I would I would hope that that person would bring it to me, and then I could kind of help them organize those medications and cut down what we could.
Yeah. So everybody listening, if you're dealing with your parent, if you heard this kind of horror story before, now, so Dr. Cheney, let's say you my parents, I found out my mom taking 10 different medications. Who do you talk to first? Is it the PCP or you go to the pharmacist? Who do you talk to about that in terms of reviewing all the medications?
I guess probably the PCP, I would think. Unless you have duplicates, then you might want to confirm with the pharmacist first. Mm-hmm. But if they're all different and you're not sure how she's supposed to be taking it or what, then it might. Then I think I would go to the PCP, like make an appointment and then bring all her medicines with you guys both. And then if you go with her, then that way, I've had people where they just send their parent to me and then I try to organize it, but it's really hard if they forget what I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful if you're not sure, as like a son, to go with your mom so that we can kind of work together to figure out what your mom's supposed to be on and what's necessary for her care versus what she accidentally just kept taking and we could take it away.
Right.
So I think that the primary care doctor would be the first person to go to.
So when do you think people need to see a geriatrician? Is there a certain age or depends on the health? Like, let's say you have a patient that's 65 or 85. That's your patient. Would you recommend a geriatrician, or would should a client ask you, do you think I need to see a geriatrician, even though you may be versed to some extent on geriatrics?
I actually get this question a lot. Like when people are 80 and they come to me, they're like, I need to see a geriatrician. But geriatricians, I think people think that they act as a primary care doctor too, but actually they act as a specialist. So they're same thing as like a cardiologist, like a heart doctor, or a pulmonologist, a lung doctor. So they specialize in 65 and older, and usually it's like a certain, something brought you to see them. I think the most common one that I see is memory problems.
Right.
So like dementia or memory problems, then they'll send you to see a geriatrician. Or just in general being very frail, like lots of hospitalizations or both, you know, falling or something like that, then they might refer to a geriatrician. And then they usually will just take care of those problems. And then your whole body care, though, is still left to your primary care doctor.
Yeah, so important,
so
guys.
So not everybody has to go.
So ask your PCP they'll still remain your PCP, but they need a specialist because, you know, I've heard statistics up to 50% of people that have dementia are not diagnosed, you know, for whatever reason. You know, I have had clients that weren't diagnosed. I said, you got to go see a geriatrician. Well, as soon as they saw a geriatrician, And sometimes some PCPs don't want to document that you have dementia. You know, it's going to scare the family, you know, and it's going to create a different lifestyle. It's like, well, yeah, it's going to have to. They need to be educated.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Last question here, which will take a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. How can caregivers or children be part of parents' care? What thing can children do?
I think like how you're like just spending time with your parents, because like you said, like a lot of, I do see that a lot of dementia goes undiagnosed, because like if you only visit somebody for like 20 or 30 minutes, people are really smart and they can fake it really well. So even
they
in
do.
A doctor's office,
yes,
I
you're
see,
right.
Yeah,
they
right.
Do.
And like, yeah. So even my grandma, for example, had dementia and we were noticing at our home. But her doctor didn't diagnose it. But I told my mom, grandma can fake it for 20 minutes in a doctor's office. So they might not suspect it because she can fake it. But so I told my mom, maybe you should, you know, mention that you notice memory problems. So she did. And then his doctor did a memory test and then got diagnosed with dementia. So I think it's important for family to also spend more time so that they can kind of recognize these things. And then when they do, they can bring, mom or dad to the doctor and go with them. Because I have also had patients that come by themselves and say, I don't know why my daughter told me to come. Or, somebody told me to come. And I'm like, okay. So I have to try to figure it out. So it's helpful for, you to go with your mom or dad so that we can talk and try to get to the bottom of things and do a memory test if that's what's needed. Or and then other things, not just, just not forgetfulness, but other things, like just little things, like my grandpa would wear his shirt inside out. And he would do that every single time. So maybe one time, somebody will forget. Like, even I can do that. But if every single time you visit him, their shirts are always backwards or inside out. Or, putting on dirty clothing or something, then that would be something you would wonder why that's happening. Or bills piling up, mails piling up, things like that. Just, little things you might notice that are different from normal that could be indicators that something else is going on.
Yep, all those tips are great. I'll tell you, families need to be like detectives. Watch little things, ask little probing questions. I try to observe my parents by not talking to them. Just watch their little reactions or watch how they listen and or don't listen. It's so important, guys. Right. So anyway, Dr. Chain, that was a quick hour. Dr. Chain Nakano is at Kuakini Primary Care. Check her out. She's taking clients. And, you've done a wonderful job, and I'm glad you did that geriatric fellowship there at UH. So thank you so much, Dr. Chain. Just Google her. For a lot of you kids, just Google her. That's what I do. And it's really important to stay ahead of things. So thank you very much, Dr. Chain. Have a great week, everybody. Be safe. Take care of your parents. And as always, aloha and live well.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
The combination of interest rates at near all-time lows and home values at near all-time highs create a great opportunity to get the most out of your home's built-up equity. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist at MLS number 582-944. If you are 60 or older, you might qualify for a reverse mortgage loan that could turn your equity into extra funds for retirement. Take a few minutes to visit with him about ways this plan could work for you. As a certified senior advisor and being certified in long-term care planning, he has helped many older homeowners just like you to retire more freely. Call him now at 808-234-3117. That's 808-234-3117. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.